go.
Okay. I don't expect us to have an audience for a while. I'll just go ahead and start.
That's my bad. Sorry.
No, it's Jack's bad.
There's no bad. It's all good.
Everybody gonna laugh tonight. Everybody gonna feel all right. Everybody gonna ramblecast tonight. Everybody gonna dance around. Everybody gonna hit the ground. Everybody gonna ramblecast tonight. Well, you can come on to my place if you want to. You can come do anything you want to do. Everybody gonna laugh tonight. Everybody gonna feel all right. Everybody gonna ramblecast tonight.
Woo! That was nice.
Yeah, really sweet.
So, or as Jack would say, Nick, I think that was your best one yet.
That's a 2007 Paul McCartney song.
Yeah.
Well done.
I thought it sounded familiar, but wasn't, you know, I couldn't quite place it.
Yeah. He doesn't get a lot of credit for his post-Wings stuff.
It's usually not a thing where right before the Ramblecast I'm trying to sober up. It's usually at the end. And so tonight we got well, my wife was making White Russians. It's kind of been it's kind of been a drink of choice around the house. And the first one went down so smooth, but when she made the second one, that's when shit started getting real. So I was trying to like take a nap, sober up. I got my coffee ready. Like, so yeah. Thanks, Nick. Yes.
Nick, you are muted, friend.
Played a song and he was like, that's it.
I'm done.
I'm done, man.
I don't think I've ever had a White Russian.
Really? Oh, they're delicious.
Yeah.
You never gone to the dude's side, huh?
No, I should have, you know, considering I love that movie.
Fun fact about that movie, right? So the movie was made before September 11th. And
yeah, oh, yes.
Well, it was made long before that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but...
I love this trip. This is good.
Opening scenes, the dude is writing a check for 69 cents on September 11th.
Oh.
As Bush Sr. is playing on in the background. So it was like a really interesting like wraparound there.
Huh.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
A little reach around.
And of course, you know, there's all the Saddam Hussein references that occur in the movie. Mm-hmm. I know that they were making the sequel based around the Jesus. My thoughts is that they should have had a sequel called The Little Lebowski based on Lebowski's
kids.
Yeah, based on his kid. And it could be a playoff of the fact that in the movie they actually refer to Little Lebowski's as being this, like, you know,
the kids.
Yeah. And so I always thought that it could take place during the second invasion of Iraq in the 2004, because that would match up with the timeline.
Yeah, the kid would be like roughly 5-6 years old.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so and then him finding out who his actual father was, and you know,
I'm curious though, like how that would come about, because you know she makes it clear that she just wants his seed. You know, right. Like she wants the kid. So like I wonder if, because he doesn't seem like he cares. You know, he's like, oh, whatever, right. Man. You know, like,
yeah.
would the kid just at that point be introduced in his life or what? You know, like how would that happen?
Well, clearly the kid's going to be a genius. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, I would imagine that he would be like some kind of savant and he would like figure it out and like somehow go out on his own adventure to find out who his real dad is or something. I don't know. I can't write this shit. I'm just saying like it has the potential there. So anyway, I mean, you know, why mess with a good thing? But, you know, I've watched that movie, I don't know how many times. And
it's funny to me. Like, yeah, like I think I never watched that movie all the way through until probably my fourth or fifth attempt. Cause it was always on TV, you know, and so like, I'd catch it like 20 minutes middle of the movie at the very end of it or whatnot. And I just remember going, I really need to watch this movie. Like, but it's great. You know, I mean, it's definitely weird. It's kind of like Fear and Loathing, which came out roughly about the same time. You know, I love that movie too. Las Vegas, Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
And that movie, like the first half is like one movie. And then the second, it kind of gets just weird. It's the whole movie's weird, but like it just gets weirder as it goes along. And I don't know. I just love that movie too. Anything like that. It's just, it was an interesting time to me. Was the late 90s and early 2000s for filmmaking. Because mm-hmm. like there's a lot of just,
there's a lot of really great independent movies.
Yeah. A lot of concept movies,
It reminds me of movies that were made in the 70s when in the 70s you have this push against the normalcy. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of like not so happy go lucky movies being made in the 70s where filmmakers were kind of really like, you know, like saying like, well, what if the good guy doesn't end up with the girl? Like, let's go back to this like Casablanca kind of motif, you know, like that kind of pushed against what the expected.
Oh yeah.
You know,
so. I mean, you could even like, I remember when 4 years ago when La La Land came out, how many people didn't like that movie because they didn't end up together at the end of the movie. Sorry, spoiler alert. It's been 4 years.
Spoiler.
But like, I was like, if you thought this was a romantic comedy, then mm-hmm. you are missing the whole point of the film. I was like, that's not what it was about, you know? And, but I love that whole period. Like, you know, you have Fight Club, Magnolia, mm-hmm. you know, Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind.
Oh yeah.
There's even like, no one knows I Heart Huckabees, but I even like that movie. Like,
I Heart Huckabees. That was a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot, even like the weird ones, like Requiem for a Dream, like a lot of just really strange movies, you know, that came out around that period.
What's his name? Who's the guy that did all the Tannenbaums and
Wes Anderson?
Anderson. I love Wes Anderson. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's kind of Wes Anderson. That was definitely Wes Anderson's, like, prime time, right? Mm-hmm. So when he came out those flicks, that's back when like Blockbuster was still around. You had to like rush down there to get the VHS copies.
Oh yeah,
he still makes a pretty good. I mean, I felt that Grand Budapest was probably his peak, which was like only not too long ago. But you're right. You know, because starting with Rushmore, I mean, no Bottle Rockets first. I don't really like that one as much. But you know, starting with Rushmore, you know, Royal Tenenbaums, Life Aquatic. You know, I even like.
I'm also one of the only people that I know that didn't like Rushmore.
What?
Yeah, I didn't. Again, so I haven't seen it.
Since
it came out. So I might have to give Rushmore a second chance to go back and check it out. But if you go by
I'm probably more with you on that, Chris. Like, you want to go to your MySpace and check it out?
Well, I was going to say, if you go by my TV watching schedule.
Okay. I thought you were going to say
right. You've got so much on your schedule, isn't it?
I'm probably not going to get to it anytime soon.
It's
so fucked up, man. Like, you know, of all this time that we have at home, I actually have less time to do stupid shit.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's so weird. Everyone's like, well, yeah, what are you doing, man? Why can't you do X, Y, and Z? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm too fucking busy. Like, I had, like, in between work and doing whatever, and when my kids were either at daycare or at school to allow me to do other stuff, that time is that there's no voids. There's no voids in time whatsoever. So, like, I will say, though, that I'm proud to say that I finally finished Devs.
Woo, woo, woo. Yeah,
I mean that was only a week or two out, but still.
But so, what'd you think? What did you think of the ending?
I fucking loved it. It was so good.
Let me open up the YouTube here for me for a second.
Yeah, there's nobody there.
Because I've been wanting to pick your brain about it. Forever, you know, and
yeah, man, I really enjoyed it. I thought they did a really, really nice job with how they finished it off. Like, that could have gone in like 17 different directions.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think they did the right thing.
Because, like, that's like I said, 2 weeks ago when we're talking.
Ooh, excuse me.
You know, at a midpoint of that episode, that final episode, I just remember going like, "You better not cop out. You better not cop out." Because the entire time you're thinking that's what they're going to do, exactly what they're foreshadowing. Yeah. Like, well, you better not end like that. And then, of course, it doesn't, and you're like, "Yes." But yeah. Then the very end, though, got me. Because I'm glad Jack's in here, but because I don't want to spoil him or anything. But
oh wait, Jack's not here. I didn't notice.
All right. Yeah.
I kid.
But Jack will be, for everyone out there who's listening by audio, he will be here shortly. But like, cause we, for anyone who wants to watch Dev, fast forward like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair.
Cause you know, she even said, the girl main actress has said that, like, hey, you know, this is just a simulation. And you know, now that they're gone, he ordered Allison Pill to put them in the simulation, but they're still just a computer generated prediction of what their lives would be. So they're not really there, but they are there. And that's one of those weird things where I was just kind of confused. If like, and then like even the person at the very end talking with Allison Pills, like, was, you think she was like a military person or something like that? Like, because like, in a way, this is a way for them to have immortality.
Well, wasn't she the governor or whatever that visited in episode three?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. So rad. Like I'm a big fan of how the end. It was very Black Mirror. At the end,
but they had a little bit more hope than what Black Mirror has.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like I dare say it was a happy ending.
It was close to a happy ending that you could get. And
yeah,
I love the little infinity necklace that she's wearing.
Yeah,
like I never noticed that before. I don't know if she's had it on like in the previous episodes, but she's got a little Mobius strip basically necklace.
Yeah.
That she's wearing. And the name of the company, it's still the same, but like what the company does, like their little tagline is right. Like it has to deal with like quantum, and that was something that he was always against prior to that. So that was like a little like, you know, thing like in the background that like if you like picked up on, you're like, oh, okay, like that's interesting, like just the way that they changed and twisted things.
Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah, because he told Allison Pill to, you know, put him in the system. I wonder if they put him in the moment in time before, you know, they passed away. And that's why the sign changed, is because it's a predictive model of saying, well, they didn't die, so the company wouldn't have changed. He might have gone into quantum if they hadn't have passed away.
So are you saying in a very Lostian way that he went back into the simulator at that point, but she went back the morning of?
Yeah, so like basically, because you know that's how they explain it, like the pencil theory. You know, it's like,
yeah,
we can predict it. So basically when he expired, he knew he was going to. So he told Allison Pill, take my consciousness and put me in this moment in time, basically before the crash happens. Because remember, there's thousands and thousands of options, you know, and they're in the
right, good, right, right.
He says, so she put him in the good version of his life at that moment before his family died, and that altered that prediction of what his life could have been from that point on.
So then technically he had Allison, what's her name, Pill, put both of them in the same timeline.
In the same timeline, yes, but you know, at different points.
At different points.
Yeah.
Hence the Lost finale theory of like, they all convene at the same point, which we saw
right
on screen, but they entered it at different times.
Right.
Very cool show, man. Like overall, I just want to give it a 2 thumbs up. It's the show that I've been recommending when people are saying, well, what are you watching? I'm like, well, I was watching Devs and I stopped and now I started watching it. So that's the show. That's like my number one recommendation for like a real show. I mean, obviously Dave is fucking phenomenal. But it's a different type of show altogether.
It's got different letters.
Definitely has different letters. Yeah.
And by the way, you know, not to shit on Westworld because Jack's not here, but
I haven't watched it yet.
When you take Devs, the production level value and the amount of money that was sunk into that versus Westworld, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like on a purely sci-fi level, I feel like it goes further with less.
Yeah.
You know,
it really does. Yeah.
And, you know, and I've watched the rest of Westworld this season, and
I mean, yeah,
not to crap on it, because there was things that I loved about this season.
Yeah.
And the direction that it took.
Yeah.
It just like, I didn't connect with it as much as I did with like the first series.
The first season is great.
Yeah, like I'm totally like in that world and all of the concepts that they're dealing with. I think that it gets a little too heady for its own good, where it's kind of like trying to be too meta, where it kind of out-metas itself, where you're just kind of like, okay. And it gets to the point where you're like, what am I caring about?
Yeah.
So
I think I'm like, I might be like two or three episodes back now that I don't even know.
Well, I mean, I like the premise so much of season one because it's like, hey, like it's just this fictitious world that people can escape into and live out, you know, this, you know, because everyone would like to live in the Old West, you know, at some point, like, oh, what would it be like to do that? You know, and then it has its natural progression of like, oh, the machines kind of have a soul and they kind of can do this. And then the second one was about them realizing that and trying to get out of that system. So it makes total sense of a continuation. But then this one kind of like quantum leaped into, oh, because I kind of kept waiting for the other shoe to drop of like, oh, they're not really in our world. They're in future world or they're in some other weird thing.
Right.
But no, it's like they're in our world. Some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And even we are in a simulation of sorts. And you know, so it's like, and now they're trying to break us out of kind of in a way of our prison, but really are they trying to break us out or are they just trying to take over our world? And you're kind of like, what the hell is this shit? Like, what am I watching really? You know, like,
Aaron Paul, who they mm-hmm. cast, like, I love his character. I'm actually a little bit more invested in him, but some of the things that they did with him still, it almost like pushed me back with every episode. Like I was more invested and cared about his character in the first episode than where I was at the last. And to me, that doesn't bode well for the writing or the show when you take a character that I'm like, oh, I like this. Like I like, you know, and then all of the twists and turns get me to a point where I'm just like a mouse in maze, and I'm just like, okay.
Well, maybe I missed this, you know, because like there's some type of episodes I'm not really paying attention to. I'm just kind of listening to the audio in the background. Mm. But like with his character, you know, you see how Rachel Evans' character is kind of like not manipulating him, but using him in a way and like trying to guide him into her plans and all this. And because I'm such a stickler for back, like how things happen, like why they happen. And so you know why the people on Earth are revolting, you know, but how all of a sudden did they all just buy into like, oh, he's going to be our leader. Like,
oh,
he never
himself.
Yeah. He never talked to any of these people. All of a sudden he's just like, he's John Connor. And you're like, what the fuck?
You know? Yeah. So, mild spoilers.
This
season. So, and I don't think we've given away too much. We've kind of danced around some of the general. Yeah. So
another show though, cause it's, I know I mentioned it, I think last week or week before last that I did complete 2 days ago, 8 episodes on. Oh, you did. Yeah. You got cut.
No, I didn't.
This is just you did. No.
Me trying to tame it, but
the hat is perfectly matted it down to where it doesn't look unwieldy like mine.
But if I look this way, I'm like Conan O'Brien.
Yeah. You just need that curl, the big curl. Which is, it's an Amazon series called Tales from the Loop. And that is Black Mirror. It's not as grim as Black Mirror, but it's the kind of, or Twilight Zone, it's the entire, every episode, you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And you're just like, fuck. And even the last episode, like, I just kind of was like, oh, this is going to be good, man. This is what's going to happen. Like, I was clinging to hope. And then you're just like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know. But it's good. I mean, it's a good series too.
I did get back into, it may have been 20 minutes worth, but I did get back into Clone Wars. I'm on season 4. So I was trying to, like, my day is interesting. My days change on Monday through Friday. My schedule changes. I may have like, you know, calls early in the morning to having to go do like safety checks at the store, the whole nine. But I've been having a lot of my calls are like, you know, 15 to 20 minute calls, but I have them from like, you know, 8 a.m. until noon And then, so every 15 minutes I have a call, I take, kind of take a 15 minute buffer in between them. So I'm trying to, like, if I have that time in between them, I can like squeeze in a little bit of the Clone Wars to try and get myself caught back up, or not caught up, just finish the damn show.
Yeah, I think I think you're really gonna like it from here on, because
I hope so. Yeah,
and
I
mean, in season two and season three, I'd say about half of the episodes in those seasons are kind of filler esque, yeah. You know, like, but 4, 5, and six, I mean, they kind of start really streamlining it there from there on.
Yeah, we had a underwater battle for Akbar's homeland. Which I thought was actually kind of cool. That was a really cool take. And I think I was texting you guys, and I was saying that you know, this is the underwater Naboo or whatever, where the Gungans lived. This is what we needed out of that underwater scene, was this battle. It was pretty cool. It was kind of badass.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that, you know, what you mentioned there, and I thought, oh, we'll just talk to Chris about this later, but. To your point, Chris, I felt the same way when I got to those episodes. I was like, oh man, this would have been cool if we saw this on the screen.
Yeah.
And I wonder sometimes if some of the things that George Lucas, because he did have a direct hand in the Clone Wars series.
Oh, yeah. He tried to unfuck himself with some of the Clone Wars stuff.
I do think that he put in certain things that he always wanted to try.
Yeah.
That was kind of one of those things that when we got to that, I was like, oh yeah, I could see how he wanted to
I think, this. Yeah, I think the Clone Wars is as close as we're ever going to get to if George Lucas could have made Star Wars in the 70s in this format, what it would have been like, because he always wanted it to be a serial like Flash Gordon. But at the time, movies were the major medium. And,
right.
And of course, the budget would have been insane to make a TV series, you know? So I think that's why he likes the Clone Wars so much, because he can tell little bitty stories that all will line up together.
Yeah. Well, there's certain things that they could do in the cartoon format that they could just never do in a live action, you know, I mean, just with the technology, even thinking in terms of underwater and how realistic that might look with, you know, people underwater. I mean, like, how do you film that? That's something that I think even computer animators have always, you know, worked on when they're messing with CGI, is like how can you get water to look like what it is. So
Greg says in the chat, who doesn't love Kit Fisto shirtless on an underwater jet ski?
Exactly.
Kit Fisto is an underrated Jedi, man.
Like, and that's, yeah, it's the one thing that's always made me mad in Revenge of the Sith, is he goes down like a little bitch, you know, because like, he's such a great Jedi. You know, the other two, you're like, okay, whatever. Kit Fisto should at least had a few lightsabers, but no, Sidious just gets him, and you're like, what the hell? Like,
Kit Fisto was a badass son of a bitch. He got the short end of the Lucas stick.
Mace Windu showed up with two red shirts and Kit Fisto.
And Kit Fisto,
it's like shit.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I remember Dave Filoni catching shit, like even early, like at all the Comic-Con panels, because he loves Plo Koon. Plo Koon is like his favorite Jedi.
Yeah, he swings from Plo Koon's nuts, man.
He does. And, like, he's in so many episodes, and I'd forgotten. Yeah. I've been binging it too, Chris. I'm all the way. I'm season four as well. And nice. And I'm just like, I forgot how much freaking Plo Koon is in all these episodes. That's very good there. You know, like,
it's funny because that Star Wars, another fun story about me not having time to do shit. So I've been playing, I told you guys before, I played Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, which is like
a mobile app, right?
Mobile app. It's a lot of fun because that's how I know a lot of the characters from the show that I haven't, the show that I have not fully watched yet, because they're in here. And of course, when I started hearing about them in the books, I listened to a few months back. I was like, oh, I know that fucking dude. That's cool, right? But Plo Koon is like the shittiest character in this game. Like he is fucking useless in this game. No one uses Plo Koon.
I can't wait till you get to Mother Townsend and her storyline, so you can be like, oh, okay, now I know who Mother Townsend is.
No, he should.
Yeah, well, no, I know about Mother Townsend.
Oh, is she? Okay.
She's also in the game.
You see,
the game.
Oh, yeah.
She's not in the game?
She's in the game.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, she's only in two episodes. The Night Sisters in season three. So just the introduction of Savage. Dude,
so hold on. Yeah, so that episode is probably my favorite episode of the Clone Wars yet. with the introduction of Savage, right? Mm-hmm. And how she brings him back with was it Talia? Was Talia in that episode? Maybe it wasn't Talia.
To my Ventress? What are you talking about?
No, Ventress is in there, but there's also another Night Sister. I'm sorry. This is definitely some barbecue talk here.
By the way, Jesse, Jack is not here. We sacrificed him to the island. That's what the island wanted.
Dude. Yeah.
He's down there turning the donkey wheel. Yeah.
He may show
Jack up later, will be gone. It's a good thing we're talking about this now because yes.
You
would just be,
he would just be like snoring this.
I just showed. I showed up this crap. What the hell?
Well, I hate the barbecue. hold on. Let me see. I'm pulling up the character list right now from the game. I'm gonna look at the Night Sisters.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're.
Yeah, Talia.
Yeah,
Talia is like she's the she's a healer in the game. I'm assuming she probably plays.
She's one of the just the Night Sisters.
She's one of the Night Sisters, and then I haven't seen old Daka yet. Is old Daka in the Clone Wars?
Old Daka?
No. Yeah, probably not. I don't know.
That sounds like somebody wearing like Doc shoes.
So this is old. This is old Daka in the game.
Oh, I don't think she'd be.
No.
So she's. I think she's from some of the extended universe stuff. But
well, we can't wait for you to catch up to the.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working on it
because that. I mean, the last four episodes are a movie.
It's a movie.
I don't even know how to refer to them because like my kids and I talk about it all the time, and I'm like, no, the last four episodes. It's its own thing. Like it just, and as I've mentioned to Nick, I really hope that they just release like a movie version where I can just watch all four of them like together because they all connect. I mean, it's just like one fluid movement really just broken up by.
Oh, so thanks. Greg just kind of clarified. So it says Talia's never said by name in the series. Her design is used, which is why I think I recognize her from that episode. So obviously, I mean, all the Night Sisters do resemble each other. I believe I probably made the association of Talia just because I know her from the game, but not necessarily named in the show. Cool.
I don't know.
Oh, so Greg, are you in Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes as well? The reason why I brought that up, I thought it was funny, is that like I've been in this guild for a long time. It's one of those games you're part of a guild and you have to do like daily bullshit to fulfill your guild duties and whatever. I didn't realize that I hadn't logged into this game in 2-3 weeks since being home. And I got kicked out of my guild for inactivity.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
so, Greg, if you got any openings in your guild, invite me.
He needs a guild. Ewoks are never mentioned by name either, so in the movie.
Nor should they be.
Yeah, I played the Star Wars Commander, you know, Chris. That's the one. And they announced, I think, 2-3 months ago that game is going to be going away after 5 years of me playing it. But I'm actually kind of happy because the guild I was in, it was just a bunch of ball breakers. I mean, we're like in the top because we've been playing since it started. It's a bunch of nerds. But it's one of those like where you're fighting another group and it was like all these limitations of what you can do and like what troops you can use and what tanks you can use. And you're just like, I'm so tired of having to think about like
tanks or taints?
Tanks okay. too. Yeah. There's some, definitely some taints in that game. Yeah.
Okay. But clarifying there, thanks.
So I was like, "Oh, glass going away. I can finally quit this fucking game."
they've done a. Let me turn the light off.
The only guild I'm in is Guildenstern and Rosencrantz.
Nice,
you've heard of that. Thanks.
They've done a nice job. I don't know if you can see. I'm trying to pull out just a little bit here.
I can see it a little bit. Yeah,
they've done a nice job with like updating a lot of characters. So this is my bounty hunter list here.
Oh,
Bossk is my OP for sure. But just thanks recently, they I can't do it. Anyways, if you look at the bottom row, they just released the Mandalorian. Which is kind of cool. So but the cool thing about the game, we can move on from Star Wars after this. But like, if you're interested, the game is pretty cool because they do a nice job, and they did a nice job during the releases of all the Star Wars movies of trying to keep storyline in the game and some of the characters and some of the missions you have to go on tied into specific. What do you call it? You know. Stuff that going on in the movies and stuff. So they've done a nice job of keeping that updated. Canon. Yeah, thank you.
Sure, no problem.
What I always thought was messed up about that Night Sisters storyline was that you know, Savage has a brother, Darth Maul. Mm-hmm. And he also had another brother, which is the one he killed at the sacrificial table.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Well, he's seen
I've
it.
Seen that.
He's seen it.
Okay.
But
that was season three, Matt.
Honestly,
I'm on season four.
I can't remember what shit happens when. I seriously, like, there's so much Clone Wars that I'm always like, when did that happen?
Yeah. Anyway, dude, I just thought that was weird. Yeah.
He's a beast.
He's a beast.
Like, he's awesome. And he's completely underrated in this fucking game.
Yeah, I mean, because he's not a Sith. You know, he's like Ventress. He's just a dark acolyte or whatever they call him, you know, and like he.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to see some pretty cool. He has some more story to go, and it's just good. As good. So yeah.
I'm excited.
I hope that everybody's celebrated their May the 4th. Even if you're like a diehard, like
I'm more a May the 5th kind of guy.
I didn't do shit on May the 4th. I'll be honest with you.
My wife
didn't do a goddamn thing.
My wife totally got into it like it was a holiday. Like she made Star Wars pizza themed shapes. Like she made a pizza in the shape of Millennium Falcon and a BB-8 one. Like I was impressed. I was just like, wow. Like we had a Nerf gun battle and lightsaber battles, and you know she was all about it. I was like, you know,
I like Ralph's subtle protest.
Oh yeah,
not my Star Wars day, which is he's right in a way. It's always been May 25th up until like the last 10 years, and you know, it's like slowly taken over. That's May 4th.
But okay, so what? Okay, it's May the 25th. May, you know, you can enjoy, and it's not like. Oh, that's just for the Protestants. I only celebrate like my Catholic religious holiday. Whatever. Okay, like just enjoy it for what it is. People are digging in on Star Wars. Like, you know, deal with it.
You said your wife got super into it though, huh?
Yeah, because she's not like that. I mean,
No. I'm leading into a conversation, and I wasn't getting at that. Sorry.
Okay.
It came off that way. I apologize.
Sure, she got into it. No, I mean it was just cool that, like, you know, as a family we could all enjoy it. And the geek side of me, okay, side note, the Goldbergs, they had an episode in which they dealt with May the 4th, and Adam Goldberg is celebrating May the 4th back in 1980. And I call bullshit on
bullshit. That. Oh yeah, that was because never ever
so many inaccuracies.
Nobody celebrated May the 4th back in the 80s.
May the 4th for those in the chat who are questioning what May the 4th is, it's a play on words. It's like May the 4th or May the 4th be with you.
And Revenge of the 5th.
And by the way, if you were a Star Wars fan back in the 80s, you would have celebrated May the 25th just like Ralph is, like a diehard, you know, like purist, and says no.
And Life Day.
And Life Day. Those would be the
Nobody celebrates Life Day.
Yeah, everybody's trying to forget that day. Anyway.
So your wife, the joke that I was going to make was not at your wife's expense. It was actually at my own, as my wife has never seen a Star Wars movie.
Well, It took my wife a long time.
They were still married.
It took my wife a long time. I think it was actually by the sheer fact that I slowly converted all of my children. It took a long time, Chris. I know your daughter's just kind of been like, you know, on the fence.
Yeah.
It took a long time for my daughter to come around to being like, you know, Ahsoka's a badass and she is my spirit animal.
Getting there, man. I got to get her into it. I got to get her into it because... Although my son might get into it before she does, and that's okay.
That was my in, actually. I got my son first, then converted my daughter, and then slowly took over the whole family. It's a very Machiavellian, Darth Sidious kind of way of taking over. So,
you like your son, or no, mine, or whatever.
Mine. You like your son. Mine.
I mean, it's
Lord Vader.
It's awesome that she's got into it, but she still will say stuff like, "Oh, well, you know, well, we watched Return of the Sith the other day," and I'm like,
okay. "Say what?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, it's cool, babe. It's cool.
But it's gonna pop up some rosé right now. We can celebrate."
Okay, you know, I'm not gonna
give you the revenge of my Sith.
I'm not gonna chastise you for saying Return of the Sith. You know, okay. So what? But anyway, we had a good time, and yeah, we did actually watch Revenge of the Sith on Revenge of the Fifth, and
So. It's better than Revenge of the Nerds, or is it?
Actually like Revenge of the Sith. I mean, it's not the perfect movie, but
I think we're going to talk about Revenge of the Nerds here because I think Nerds in Paradise is the bomb.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris, just speaking of sequel, prequel type things, I was reading just somebody's random offhand comment on Facebook today about something like that. And they were like, you know what I want? I want a freaking One-Eyed Willy prequel to Goonies. You know, I was like, I've never thought about that. Like, you know, this was, they were talking about how they're thinking about rebooting Pirates of the Caribbean now with the redhead from the blue girl in Guardians of the Galaxy. And she's going to be like the new Captain Sparrow, but not really, just another story, you know?
Really?
And that's what someone wrote in the comments is like, you know what movie I want? I want a One-Eyed Willy pirate movie, damn it. You know, and I was like, that's a great idea. I never thought about that. Like, but
it just shows them ending in like locking themselves into a cave.
And you're building a bunch of slides and just fun stuff for kids to do. You know, like we're gonna make an amusement park. We're not gonna try to get out. We're gonna make an amusement park inside this cave.
And are they ever gonna explain why the fuck a Spanish galleon is in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah. Don't worry about the history. You know, that was one of the comments too. It was like, well, you know that there was no like women captains or women pirates back then because it was very, frowned upon. And they're like you said, this is fiction, so get over it.
I do hope. I haven't heard any grumbling since I think I mentioned it last week. But what's his name from the Goldbergs pitched that script to Richard Donner. I haven't heard anything about that. I mean, I don't know if it's just bullshit or whatever, but man, I would love a continuation or a new take on one of my favorite movies of all time, The Goonies. Like, I absolutely fucking love that movie. It's been my favorite movie ever since I was a kid. It was the second or third DVD I bought just because I was poor in college.
You know who else loved that? J.J. Abrams.
Did he?
I'm just making a Rise of Skywalker slide. So, because, you guys made the comment. Anyway, sorry. I lost it. Everybody that's listening is like, what? What the fuck is Matt drinking?
What happened?
It's coffee. I'm sobering up. So, if you're just joining us.
Coffee doesn't make you sober. It just makes you a hyper drunk.
True.
Cheers.
You're mixing a depressant and a stimulant together and just causing haywire and misconnections in your brain. It's like drinking a vodka Red Bull. It's terrible for you, but fun.
You know, speaking of fun, we should probably do a commercial break.
Yeah.
So much fun.
I've just been buying shit, dude. I shouldn't, but I can't stop buying stuff I would never buy if I wasn't home all the time. What did I get this week? I bought a fucking compost tumbler.
put the bodies in.
No, I'm getting pretty into it, man. This whole gardening thing. I haven't even had a chance to fucking put them outside yet. They're still growing inside because the temperatures haven't regulated themselves up here in the Northeast. # global warming. Right. We might be getting some snow next week is a rumor I'm hearing, which is fucking terrifying. But I bought a compost tumbler. I put that son of a bitch together yesterday. It was a pain in the ass to put that thing together. But I'm looking forward to making some sweet black golds, as they say in the gardening world, of some compost.
Nice.
So I just threw a bunch of shit in there yesterday, and a few weeks, a couple months, I should have some super compost.
It's funny how like your priorities get different as you get older, you know. And like I've been house hunting for 8 months or so around here, and there was one that came up
because they don't move.
Yeah, I know. there was one that I actually saw, but it sold like the same day it went up. But it had 6 elevated gardening beds. And I was like, if I'd have been in my late to mid 20s, I'd have been like, the fuck am I going to do with that shit? But now I'm like, ooh, they got gardening stuff. Like,
Yeah, dude, it's great. It's great. So
you're in Colorado, man. You can grow it, dude.
Yeah.
Well, you can grow it here, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's a liar, too.
Just stop it, guys. Just stop
Dude, whatever. It's not my fault. You live in Pentsville. But the I'll tell you though, the whole gardening thing's been fun. I haven't even brought them outside yet. They're growing in my room in little seedling cups, but they're I didn't think it was gonna sprout, but I've got some cantaloupe seedlings that are sprouting, which is kind of cool. So I might grow some cantaloupe.
By the way, since you're getting into composting, I made the mistake a couple years back when, you know, we had thrown out some melon seeds, like some acorn melon seeds, acorn squash, sorry.
Acorn melon.
But I had thrown them in the composter, right? Didn't think anything about it. Used the compost the next year basically gardening around the house. You know, you take the compost out, you use it when you're, you know, planting stuff. And all of a sudden, all of this acorn squash just grows up randomly around our yard.
Really?
Yeah, because the seeds were in there and it's just germinating, ready to go in that compost.
Well, it means it wasn't hot enough in your composter.
Right. Until it's moved.
Yeah. Well, but you're still not supposed to put any kind of seeds in there because it can survive. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you put it in the fall, you know, and essentially by the time spring rolls around, it's hot enough to keep them alive or something like that because it didn't compost them down. So a lot of times what will happen is that you got a green-brown kind of mixture. And so over winter, you don't have enough brown going in, but you're throwing all of your, like, table scraps in there and what have you. And then by the time sometime in the spring, we'll take all of the leaves that we used on our beds, you know, like, because you can kind of, like, you know, put leaves down as like a little ground cover on all the beds of your flowers and plants. Take them all off in the spring, throw them in that composter, and that stuff just burns. It just ignites because you get the right mixture going.
Yeah, you're looking for like a two-thirds to one-third mix, I think is the right mix. You want like two parts brown, one part green, as they call it.
This is Ramblecast Gardening.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just saying, people are tuning in and are like,
what the fuck happened to these guys?
They went from Star Wars to gardening.
This is a combination of lockdown at home with trying to do things that are sustainable, reducing impact on the landfills and the environment, and turning 40.
Nick's talking about buying a house with like raised beds.
Is it weird if I'm going to be using compost that was made of cantaloupe rinds?
No.
To then feed the dirt that's going to be growing cantaloupes? Is that kind of like Soylent Green for cantaloupes?
Like cannibalism kind of?
Yeah.
No, not at all. It's not like you're grinding up bodies in there. By the way, don't put any crap in there. And a fun thing to try, which we did, is, you know, all of this stuff that says compostable, like this is biodegradable. You throw that shit in your composter, and then 6 months later, you're like, this shit's not breaking down.
Yeah,
like how really biodegradable is this crap?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that, you know, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, I never thought two thoughts about doing this, you know, and then I started going down this rabbit hole of like the whole gardening bit. And then now I'm fucking getting into it. This is what I do. I find something and I get like super hyper into it. And then I just go balls to the walls for like a good few months. And then I'll, you know, come December, I'll probably forget that I even fucking own one.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack.
How's it going?
Welcome to Compostcast.
Yeah, we're basically doing a Martha Stewart podcast right now.
Okay, because I just want to say, Nick.
Yeah.
Best song you ever started with.
Yes. Yes. We may have picked up that line for you.
But, I didn't do a song.
I think that was actually the best joke Jack ever laid down.
Pretty solid. Pretty solid.
It was a pretty good song.
So, Jack, how have you been? I could have probably have been here about 25 minutes ago because Survivor, 2 hours of mostly commercials, and then the last 25 minutes, a recap of the season.
So was it the final season finale or whatever?
No, next week is the...
Oh, jeez, how long is this fucking shit?
And next week is 3 hours.
What?
Seriously?
3 hours.
Yeah, dude, that's just the networks running out of fucking shit to do because everything is shut down.
Well, that's how they always do it. But what I would have done if I was CBS, I would have said, okay, we're not having any content. I said, let's not have a 2-hour episode tonight. Let's have an hour next week, an hour. I would have dragged this into June.
Yeah. I really thought those freaking fire tokens would really play a part this season, and they've basically been nothing. And you're like, well, what the hell?
Well, it could pay off for someone from Edge of Extinction.
I know, but you really thought like, oh, this is really going to be some kind of huge power play. Like, you know, the more they collect and all this, and like, it's really not been as what I thought it was going to be. Cause I was kind of hoping, you know, like Rob and his wife, you know, because they're basically a pair, you know, that, you know, he would have stayed in the game a lot longer and she could have been like feeding him stuff, you know, secretly. And it's like, this could be really a game changer if, you know, you had an alliance and someone on the other side. And it was like, and then just,
well, they could have stayed in the game, but they were probably smart to get him out.
Yeah. A 3-hour finale.
Yeah, so Jack, you missed some good stuff. We had some good Owen and Baru's barbecue talk, which
that's
you,
nice.
You missed, unfortunately.
That's nice.
He always and misses then, the barbecue for some reason.
I know. And then I wouldn't say he misses it, but he missed it. and then we jumped into a little bit of gardening and composting talk.
Nice.
Because I was saying how I have just, you know, in being locked down, I keep buying weird shit that I wouldn't buy if I wasn't locked down. All of which I did buy through jandjack.com/Amazon. However,
there you go.
You too should shop all of your Amazon needs at jandjack.com/Amazon. Expect some shipping delays for some non-essential items, but if you're going to buy it from jandjack.com/Amazon.
Well, Cindy saw your planner. She wanted me to build it, but now she saw this thing on Facebook. They're like $9 for these rubber round things.
Yeah, I saw those too, but
I told her, I said, I don't know about that. I said, what do you do with them when what do you do with them when the winter comes? Yeah, just
bend over it, I'll show you.
So I was actually again. So with me, I've gotten super hyper into this gardening bullshit, and I found a super cute girl on YouTube who does a great series. I've subscribed to her channel about gardening because she's not hard to look at and she can grow some serious shit. Forgot her name though. I'll give it to you. I was watching another video of this dude who kind of was giving a review of those gardening beds, like those rubber ones you just kind of fill with dirt and they stand by themselves. Uh-huh. He says they serve a purpose, but overall they suck.
Yeah, I said it's only $9. How good could they be? Yeah, you read the private chat.
Yeah, he's not there.
All right, yeah, I people.
I just told Cindy, I go, I don't know, I could build one probably cheaper than $9. I go, it's just that what I was looking at today, because we've had, since all this construction, we're having tons of snakes, and we've always had copperhead, but I've never seen adult copperhead. Well, last Friday I saw an adult copperhead. Tried to get it, and he got away.
Well, the adult ones aren't as dangerous. You know, it's the young ones that are dangerous.
I know, but where there's So it's like, So I was looking at these solar things that are supposed to chase the snakes away. So I don't know. I was on Amazon today looking at them, going, okay, because I bought mothballs because I was always told mothballs, but found out that's a Southern myth. The mothball, all it does is make the surroundings of your house stink, which my wife kept saying, I hate these mothballs, the house stinks. So we had a snake skin on the porch today. And she's like, well, how did that happen if there's mothballs? I go, I don't know. So I looked it up. I go, oh, I guess it's just a myth. But everyone's always told me, get mothballs. I said, well, their house gonna stink for about a month because I'm not gonna go around picking them up.
I don't know anything about copperheads. Like, I know, like, worker bees.
Fucking run is what I would do. I wouldn't go near them.
No, of course not.
Snakes and spiders are the two worst things in the world, and I want nothing to do with them.
What about those murder wasps? Or hornets, sorry.
Dude, those things are awesome. Those things are little badasses. So I actually posted, I think I put it on Twitter or Facebook or one, or maybe even both, who knows. I'm just wondering, what's the over-under and how long it's going to take, our fearless leader and his followers to refer to them as China hornets?
Well, I remember when killer bees came out. and you had Saturday Night Live. Oh, you kids probably don't remember this, but they had Saturday Night Live.
Come on. Yes, we well, know.
I'm not talking about you. You're the same age as me. But I'm talking about the younger guys in this on the podcast. But they had, you remember Saturday Night Live where they had John Belushi, the Killer Bees, and they'd be bandit. But then they had all these movies out there. You know, the Killer Bees are, and they, you know, I don't know anybody that got killed by a Killer Bee.
I just got this letter in the mail from Nick. He said, shut the fuck up.
Okay, Matt, I'll get off your lawn.
Outstanding. That was outstanding.
You fucking old people are so cranky. I only have a short time.
Like this. Oh, you only have a short time?
Well, I got to record Survivor after this.
Oh, I thought you already had recorded.
I haven't even started yet.
Oh. That's all right. We're about 45, almost an hour in.
Well, yeah. Before Jack has to go, then
yes,
I wanted to talk that sports related. So Chris was saying earlier, you know, he's at home. He's at home, but he doesn't have time to do stuff that he wants to do. Well, yesterday and today, I've been building a map, so I don't have to like really concentrate on it. I just kind of do it, and I can have the TV on. And I binged watched all 6 episodes. There's going to be 10 total of the ESPN series, The Last Dance, about the Bulls and Magic.
I haven't watched it yet, but no, I've heard.
It's so freaking good. I mean, I don't even care about basketball. But like, I was like, this. It brought back so many memories of the late 80s and early 90s, you know, because they did a really good job of, because it's really focused on the 97-98 season. But each episode is a flashback to something in the past. And then usually each episode is dedicated to one of the players, you know, but that they always bring it back to Jordan in some way.
Well, I know that Isaiah Thomas had it because he was left off the Olympic team, mainly because they think that
they blame Jordan blackballed him, but it wasn't just Jordan. It was a lot of them.
Because a lot of people didn't like Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, none of them did. Cause they do a really good job of explaining that. They leave out some of the stuff early on, like, because Jordan's very first, this is not in the show, but Jordan's very first All-Star game, Isaiah didn't like him even then. And like they basically made it a point that we're never going to pass the ball to Jordan.
Right.
So that pissed Jordan off to the point where he just despised everyone on that team. And that's the way he was, though. He was so driven. I was like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to beat your ass. And that's what drove him to be who he is, though. And but you see that, in 89 and 90, you know, the Pistons just – you know, beating them, and and then the unsportsmanlike in 91 when the Bulls finally did beat the Pistons, and the Pistons didn't even shake their hands, and all this, and it was just a lot of resentment. But like they've said that, like I've read a couple articles afterwards, and some other things that it wasn't just Jordan, it was Magic Johnson, it was Pippen, it was also Karl Malone, like a lot of, and Bird as well. Like they did not like Isaiah Thomas.
Well, basketball back then was a lot more physical.
Yeah, I've always known basketball is to be physical.
I mean, now you can't breathe. Well, obviously you can't breathe anybody right now, but you can't you can't touch anybody in basketball now. But you look at how Laimbeer used to play.
Yeah,
and Kevin McHale and some of these guys, how they played,
throwing elbows and knocking you down, and that's what they talk. I think it's episode 3. I think they talk about what the Pistons' defense was just for Jordan. And I forget what they call it. It's like Jordan something. And it was basically, like if he even gets in the air, you knock him on his ass. I mean, it was just every time. It was like it's basically you're laying him out like a linebacker.
The Bill Laimbeer School of Basketball.
Yeah. And it was like, because like they say, like once he got airborne, you couldn't stop him. So like you had to stop him before he jumped.
See, that's the difference between like you have Wayne Gretzky where people would try that, but then, you know, Edmonton would have their goons go after whoever did that. And guys knew that, so they wouldn't do it. Gretzky. Yeah, they wouldn't go after Gretzky. It's like,
do you remember that cartoon where they had like Jordan, Gretzky, and
something All Stars?
Yeah. What was it? Who's the other?
Space Jam.
Was it Bo?
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson. Didn't they have him on there too?
Because it was Bo Knows, right?
Right.
Pro Stars.
Okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember that cartoon, but I remember Gretzky and I'm trying to remember the other person that was
pulling it up right now. So Pro Stars was
Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky.
Bo Jackson, yep, those are the three.
Very short lived.
I gotta go.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, they're ready. They're actually ready to record. Oh. So,
all right, Jack. Do you want...
If you're still recording when I come back, then I'll check.
Well, I guess we'll still be recording, but I just
three of you will.
Okay, never mind. Peace out, Jack.
Bye, Jack.
But I'll see you guys next week.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Best show ever, Jack. One it is.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about I didn't talk about last week was Bad Boys, the third movie.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was the worst pile of crap I ever saw in my life.
It's not that good, yeah.
I said, wow, just are we just phoning it in? Are we just collecting a paycheck? What the hell? The stupid CGI and I go, no plot. It's just dumb, stupid fucking movie. Will Smith, I'm glad I didn't go to the theater and see it because I would have been pissed.
Yeah,
when was the last time Will Smith made a good movie?
Probably I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm, yeah, that was a good one.
I saw that in IMAX.
Also, the Ben Affleck movie, that wasn't bad. He plays a alcoholic.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah.
It's a basketball coach, plays the alcoholic. And then TV. I finally got my wife to watch Mindhunters, who she kept fighting me on.
Oh, good. Did she like it?
We watched it in 3 days.
Did she realize that what's his name from Mindhunter is the Kristoff from Frozen?
I don't know.
Yeah. Fucks you up when you realize who that is. You're like, oh my God, it's Kristoff.
Who's Kristoff? I've never seen Frozen, so I don't know.
Oh, really? Kristoff is the guy who's got Sven the reindeer.
Oh wait, no, that's Little Mermaid.
But which guy from
the main character?
No. Oh, you mean Holden?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yep. He's the voice of Kristoff. And once you realize that, you can't get out of your head, so don't finish the series first and then look at it and you're like, "Oh, okay."
Well, I'd already seen it, but I watched it again and she's asking me, I go, "It's like season one." I go, "It's been 3 or 4 years since that's been on." I go, "I don't remember. Just watch it and be quiet."
Yeah, and then it looks like that next season that show is in development hell. It has been perpetually held back.
All the actors have been released from their contracts.
Yeah.
I figure they come back and get the Burger King killer and get him, and because they always show clips of it, you know.
I think they'll finish it out at some point, hopefully. I would like to see it finished.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of, oh, that's that whole thing from Frozen 2. Sorry. That
was great show, the unknown! Great show, kids.
Oh, what?
Yeah, you're supposed to be on the Survivor podcast right now. And
they won't stop talking. Did I say I have to go?
Jack, you've not shut up for the last 10 minutes.
I said I have to go. I
kept talking about like Saturday morning cartoons.
What's with the little boy haircut, Jay?
Yeah,
I didn't put anything in my hair today. But yeah. It's like
he should be on Mindhunters. He looks like one of those killers.
Yeah. Yeah, he does look like a serial killer, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does a little bit.
Listen, don't be jealous, Jack. Nick.
Ooh, Franklin Barbecue. I dig it.
I was told there
he loved that shirt.
Pee before we started, and I was here ready. And
I waiting. Had a tight ship ready to go, Jack.
I'm not used to you guys being ready.
You should need some of those. You need those. Some of those.
I gotta go, and they were like, "Do you have to leave?
Oh, bullshit!
Don't leave us. We're afraid.
All of you.
I had nothing to do with this. I mean,
we're doing the Owen and Bruce tomorrow.
Yes.
Yep.
Austin, you're probably not there because he's
so far behind. And
it'll be me, Matt, you, and Austin. Cole.
I look forward to chatting with you all tomorrow.
What about me?
You're coming to the barbecue.
We'll see. I have to if I'm in a good spot editing. Well, wait. I'm not really doing editing because we had a live show.
I did Owen and Bruce once. I did Owen and Bruce once, and it really ruined my podcasting career. it's like you make that bad movie, like I was saying about Will Smith. It's like people go, oh, he did Owen and Bruce barbecue one time.
Just stretch it out, just like Survivor.
I plugged Owen and Bruce big time on Geek Dad Life. So
thanks.
A lot of hits.
Appreciate
that. He put a picture up of your artwork.
Yeah, he did of the artwork.
Real big.
And I put a link in my description.
What?
Oh my gosh, this is awesome.
Well, all the stops.
Maybe that'll help. Maybe I'll get a bounce back in my career. Maybe because it won't be.
I think you need to bounce over to Survivor because this guy's gonna like
Well, I did say I did Owen Bruce just for the money.
You did. For the credits.
Yeah. Also, Austin,
thanks for the download, Jack.
But the last four episodes of Clone Wars is arguably some of the best Star Wars of all Star Wars.
See, so that's the unanimous.
I could not agree more on that.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, like, Jack, like, I'd maybe, like, come over to the house and then watch those four episodes with you. But I was like, will he get all of this? But I don't know. I
feel like maybe. Jay, I'm making my way back. So I'm currently on season four, and I've started squeezing it into my day.
So there's four seasons of Clone Wars? I'm not going to watch.
Nope. There's more than that.
There's five,
sweetie.
Five in three days. Like, I mean,
because that's a really good show.
Clone Wars is good.
No, what show did you just watch in 3 days? Oh, Mindhunters.
What's that? Is that the one with?
That's the one with John Kristoff.
Oh, you haven't seen it, Jay? You need to watch it. It's really.
No, I've watched it.
It's with Kristoff. We're just talking about how Kristoff is the lead character.
Oh, see, I know him as King George from Hamilton, but
I know him as Jonathan Groff.
I watched Hamilton.
I only know him from Holden.
Oh yes, when I see Hamilton in my Lexus, that's where you see him.
He looks like a guy I used to ref with. I mean, he's almost like spot on with a guy I used to ref with.
Actually, I didn't take a Lexus. I think we flew into Chicago to see Hamilton.
Oh, I took my private jet over to see Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Yes. We're in Chicago.
Duel.
Into the Windy City, but the wind stopped because we were there. The river has so much influence on the city. It's so great.
The river was green with envy.
Oh, God. All right. Gentlemen, have a good show. Jack.
I got to go.
All right, Jack. Get out of here.
Fine. You stayed your hour.
You think Matt's a bad producer? I
got to go. Oh, I just got this letter for you, Jack.
He didn't even let you get it. Oh, that's awesome.
I know.
You know, Chris, the Lexus voice is borderline Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yeah. They're like, you know, where he's, you know, on the phone, he's like, you've reached the mortuary. That's it. Yep.
You know, I was messing around with some voices earlier today. I was with my son and my daughter, and I think I might have to get into doing some voiceover work. I can pull it off.
That was my dream job for years. I moved to LA, I looked up a few coaches and talent agencies. And, you know, you're paying like $1,000 a month, and it's just like, shit, I can't afford that.
Yeah. It was funny because during a couple of my meetings, I was plugging some new content that we have that's posting on our streaming platform. And I was reading the synopsises, and I was trying to do it in like my movie voice. And I did a few of them, and I had a couple of my employees like, dude, you want to do my outgoing voicemail message? Yeah, sure, why not? But here's the thing. Like, I think I need to put practice and time into it, because like when I'm you know wrestling with the kids and just fucking around, like I can come up with a voice and then I forget it.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah,
and I can't go back and recall it. I won't be able to do it. So I have to like build like a mental Rolodex of voices to do that. I mean, the whole deeper voice, like the movie style voice, that it's not a huge change for me, because this is my talking voice. I can very simply just jump into "In a World." Right. And that's just that's an easy thing. That's me copying what's his nuts from the movie trailers. But I think I might try and in practice do some voices.
Yeah, when you think of them, you just need to, like we're doing now, set up the mic, do a quick recording of like some line. And what you're supposed to do, like to make an audition tape, is basically just find any kind of dialogue, and then each sentence change the voice into something else. But you're still reading the page, you know. But yeah, like I being, you know, like same as you having kids and Matt having kids too. Like, you know, you're always the bad guy most of the time, and so when I was playing my nephew,
I'll get you.
That's all I would do is villains' voices, you know. So
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
Exactly. That's what I would, because I did like I forget his name, but he's in, you know, Return of the King. He's one of the bad, you know. So it's like, you know, fear. You know, like same thing. Like
a good one. That was good. The city of
fear. You know, like you just do that, you know, and then I would, you know, like a, you know. You know, like, yeah, like, so you just,
dude, not bad, you know, man. Like, that's, you know, pretty solid.
Any kind of voice, you just do them, you know, they're fun.
Yeah, I can do that. The whole deep voice thing is comes easy to me. I have a deeper voice, and it's easier to do that. I love doing the Vader or the Emperor Palpatine. Right, that's a fun one to do. Mm-hmm. And you can say, Lord Vader, rise.
Oh, he is creepy as fuck in that.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, like, but it's fun, man. Like the whole voice thing is it's a good time. It's funny because you know my people I work with, they know that I do some like podcasting and stuff. So, but like now that we're doing everything is 100% WebEx, right? So now that they see me on the first week they saw me on WebEx, this is what they see. The same thing you're seeing right now. They're like holy shit, you got a real mic, don't you there, huh? I'm like, yeah, I mean this is nowhere near like a studio like quality like, you know, professional audio production mic, but this is like a, you know, in total probably like $150 setup, but people pay hundreds of dollars alone just for the microphone. But people are like, "Oh wow, you're really into this shit." I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I am.
You're like a geek about this stuff.
You're like an audio nerd.
I will say this though, Chris. The older your kids get, the more out of touch you get with those voices. Because
I know
I would read all the time to my kids, you know, and read the voices, you know, and I would read in different voices for them. My daughter would get really annoyed because I would intentionally read in a different voice, like a robot voice, and she would be like, yeah. "No, don't do it!" Like she'd get mad. Like I think it was about a year ago, I was reading the Solo book. We were like reading that together, and I would do a Lando voice and I would do a Dryden Voss voice, and you know, and I was really getting into like the different, you know, trying to, it's really hard to do.
Can I hear your Lando voice?
No.
No, come on, I want to hear.
No, I'm not, I can't do it on
stage.
I want to hear Matt be sexy, like you truly belong here amongst us. You know?
I have you to it's like peeing next to somebody in the stall.
You
like,
truly belong here amongst the clouds.
This deal's getting worse all the time.
You know, and another thing too, I've actually been thinking about doing is that, you know, anybody who has kids, you realize like your kids' voices change so quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've seen like videos of my daughter when she was young, and I was like, oh my god, that cute little peanut voice. Like now she's just fucking annoying. No, I can't. I love you. If you're up, but it's funny, man. Like how like their voices do change. So it's like any advice I have to any new parents out there or people who have, you know, kids, you know, our kids' age is that record them as much as you can.
Oh yeah.
Right. You know, record them because it's those videos that pop up and like the time hop, they pop up in like Facebook, whatever the fuck memories they call it. I don't know what it is. Those are the videos that always consistently put a smile on my face.
It's so easy to do a voice memo on a phone nowadays. When my daughter was in utero, basically my wife was pregnant.
It's a great album, by the way.
It is. We had to go into, you know, to get the ultrasound, and we were, you know, finding out the, I don't think we were at the point of finding out the sex yet, but it was like the baby's first heartbeat, right? So we're going in there and I had like a little, like kind of, you know, handheld recorder, you know, cause we, you know, at that time, you know, forget cell phones. We just didn't have that on our cell phones at the time. And, so I'm recording it and I ran across this little recorder just the other day. And it was like, so amazing to kind of go back and hear that heartbeat. And you can even hear the woman say, are you recording this? You're not allowed to bring any recording devices.
What?
Yeah.
That was actually, yeah.
Yeah.
No, bitch, do your job.
It's my job. I'm just making money off of this.
And then the very next like recording is just me like muffled, like recording. Like,
it's like,
yeah. I was waiting for you like to hear like next thing you know, a sumo crash comes in and you hear breathe in the air. Just, you know, like,
we're gonna go into some Pink Floyd shit now.
That's what I'm saying. Like you said, you start with a heartbeat. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's just a yeah.
Are they doing a live Survivor podcast right now?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. No, they.
Yeah, I think they were just doing.
We don't have a link. We don't have the link anyway. But it would be cool.
Our entire participant list just.
Oh, it just stopped as soon as they left.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, we were at 10, and I think we're only down one. So.
Oh, yeah. We haven't had any comments in a while. So, oh yeah, we have 9 watching. So you're.
I think we lost.
Okay.
Just everybody that was here for Jack. They were just like, I'm out. These guys, they're the three stupid guys. anything else you guys have been watching or doing during the quarantine? So I,
you know what? Another stupid bullshit thing I bought. I bought a bagging system for my lawnmower. I just ordered it tonight. I'm gonna go pick it up tomorrow.
To catch your grass.
To catch the grass.
You're one of those people.
Well, no, here's the thing. And like, here's the problem. So I feel like what I'm going to do is I'm going to alternate because I, for the last year and a half, like last summer I was here in the house I'm living at now. I was mulching. And I got too much and it just killed areas of my yard. Absolutely just fucking destroyed my yard. So I decided I'm going to get like a bagger in a system there. So that helps because I have a ton of pine trees that kind of are the perimeter of my property. And pine needles are the fucking bane of my existence, especially with anyone who has it. You have a house and you have a yard that's got pine needles in it. It just destroys your land. So I'm going to use it to be a lazy no raker.
Reminds me of my favorite line from It's a Wonderful Life when Jimmy Stewart goes over to Mary's house after she's back from college and, you know, she's like clearly into him and he's just like, I give two fucks about you. And he sits down next to her and he's like, see, it still smells like pine needles around here. Yeah. It's so random. I'm just like, what are you doing, dude? And then, of course, they have that romantic part where he shakes her and he's like, I don't want any ground floors and I don't want any bullshit, you know? And he's just like so pissed at her. He's about ready to smack her, you know? And Mary's mom's above the stairs and she's like, oh, Mary. And then they kiss and you're just like, what the fuck was going on in the 30s and 40s? Like you could just have an abusive relationship and fall in love. So
speaking of random, I'm just checking out the chat and Randy in the chat was mentioning how he just finished watching Band of Brothers.
Is this his first viewing or just to
it was his great and humbling.
Yeah.
It sounds like being great and humbling. He's probably discovering this. And this is his first time watching it. But he then continues on saying, now I started Lilyhammer. Dude, I forgot about that show. Lilyhammer is one of the funniest and best Netflix series. And if my memory serves, I believe Lilyhammer was Netflix's first Netflix original movie or series. I think that was like their introduction into making the Netflix original series. But I think they bought the rights from that from the production company and they went through it. It stars Steven Van Zandt of Sopranos / E Street Band fame, who is in the mafia and he goes into a witness protection program. But in that part of that program, it means he has to move to Lillehammer, Norway or Sweden.
Oh, okay.
Is it Norway or Sweden? I think
it's Norway.
What's funny about that show is he escapes, you know, the authorities and the rival mob bosses in New York, I think, and moves to Lillehammer and essentially starts his own mob in Lillehammer. It's actually a really, really good show. I think it had 2 seasons, if maybe not 3. I don't even know, but very good show.
Just looking up stuff about it, so I will try not to get too far into it, but it says Lilyhammer is Netflix's first ever Netflix original.
Is
well,
it?
Sort of. The cross production between Netflix and Norway station NRK1 was among the first of its kind and really was the spark of what has driven many Netflix series since.
Nice. Yeah.
We're going
Recommend. Huge recommend. It is so good.
Now, do we think we recommend The Pacific since he hasn't seen? He just now watched Band of Brothers. Do we recommend The Pacific? Because like it was one of those things that like, it was really a letdown after watching Band of Brothers. To me, I think Jack kind of agrees with that too. I don't know if you guys saw The Pacific or not.
I have not seen The Pacific.
Well, The Pacific, you know, because Band of Brothers came out 2000. The Pacific came out 2010. And, you know, because they wanted to do the other theater. But whereas in Band of Brothers, it's following one company. throughout for the European theater. The Pacific is kind of like four different stories and trying to make them all interweave, and it just didn't quite work the same to me. But it's still good. It's just not, you don't get the attachment to the characters that you did in Band of Brothers.
Yeah. I just don't remember the Pacific. I guess that's probably the best way to describe it. Like, I've seen it. I remember the hype around it when it first came out, and I don't remember it.
One of the things that's really going to throw you off, though, is if you go back and watch it now, because I as soon as I saw Mr. Robot and, of course, Bohemian Rhapsody, I knew that guy from the Pacific because he's in it. Along with the kid from Radio Flyer, and you're like, good gosh. Like, and then you look back now and you're like, wow, that's so weird. Like, the kid from Jurassic Park 2 is, he's in it too. But you're just like, that's wow, look at them growing up. Of course, they're our age, but it's just like, just different when you're used to a child actor and you see them growing up.
How the fuck have we not talked about the news that came out yesterday with the new CBS series being written and drafted right now of a series based on Tiger King?
Oh, that's one of those things where, like, as soon as I immediately saw that, I went, Nick Cage needs to say no to some stuff, man.
Like, no, dude. Nick Cage needs to say yes to this role because that's going to be phenomenal.
No, I think it's going to be the same thing as like with 50 Shades of Grey. Like, the book was a big deal for women and at the time, but by the time the movie came out, people were like, that was like last year.
Right. You know? Oh, and no. So yeah, maybe. It kind
of. Tiger King is one of those things that.
They kind of needed to strike while the iron was hot.
Yeah, it's like kind of lightning in a bottle, basically.
Like, if it was releasing now, I think it would crush.
Right. If it was right now, exactly. If the movie is out next week, then people
would. Well, it's not even a movie. It's going to be a series.
I think also, too, just like when it was released, everybody was kind of going into quarantine. So they were kind of like watching more TV and, I don't know. Just
nothing better to do.
Nothing better to do. And I mean, to your point, Chris, that you made earlier about like, how is it that I'm in quarantine, but I'm still busy as ever? It's kind of how I've found myself. It's just like, I have all this time, but it's weird time. Like, my work schedule is just like, I go into work because I got a couple web orders. So I got to go in, I make some boxes, I come back home, I go on a walk with my kids, I come back, I got to do grading, there's another order, or there's more shit to do around the house. And then by the time it's like, okay, put the kids to bed, and oh, by the way, get caught up on all of this web stuff. It's like an endless bicycle where my work day doesn't have a beginning or an end. It's just there. Now,
keep going.
The plus side is I've had all this time with my kids, as you've mentioned before, Chris, just being around your kids during this period of time has been great. But it sucks when I'm like on a Zoom meeting with like all my students all day long, and then by the time I do get away from the computer, I just feel like a zombie because I've just been sitting in front of the computer. So it's weird because I'm not getting to all of the things that I want to, So,
right.
I will say, and just one, I know, Chris, we're going to have to end soon for you, but of the crazy things that, you buy during this quarantine time. We've been playing a lot of board games with the kids. And so the other day when my wife went to the grocery store, we were talking about the Game of Life. So she bought the Game of Life, and it's like the newer version of the Game of Life where you can have pets or something like that. We played it.
Did she go to college or did she go straight for the workforce?
I played it both ways, but it's always better to go to college. You get a better paycheck unless you end up becoming like a fashion designer. So that has a bit lower. Anyway, the newer Game of Life though, like my wife and I were like, this sucks. Like, and of course our
kids it does suck.
So she,
but it's kind of like life.
So yeah. So she and we sit around and we'll play with the kids and maybe we'll have a cocktail or two as we did tonight. Before I started the podcast. She ended up buying the original Game of Life through Target, the classic 1960s version or whatever. We got it today and we're just loving it. Like, my wife and I were just like, this is awesome, and we're like living it up, and our kids are like, this sucks.
You know, it's funny because we played the same game. We had the same version I think you're referring to, kind of like one with the cartoony job career cards and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because when my daughter sucked at the game, like she, it's all luck, right? So she just kept getting like just drilled with taxes and fees and then having to pay us for rolling our numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
And she was just getting so mad. And then she lost her job.
I know which part you're talking about. You can lose your job. There's like a card that pulls up and like.
Yeah, she lost it. And I know this sounds so cruel and insensitive to be having me laughing about someone losing their job, especially in a time like now. So I do apologize in retrospect, but we're talking about the game of life. And I'm like, yeah, hey, that's life, dude. It sucks. Like,
that's life.
Shit happens. Like, so you got to prepare for this stuff. It's inevitable. But yes, so I actually did that night. I did a similar thing. I didn't go buy the other version of life, but that night I did go and buy the original version of Monopoly.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to try and get some Monopoly games going on, which I got. I actually ordered directly from Hasbro, which is like 20 minutes down the street from me, but it took 3 weeks to get. But
you know the strategy, don't you, to buy Monopoly, right? Where you win, but you're a complete dick.
Of course. But it's funny because I did buy like a original Monopoly, but it's definitely packaged for now. Right. So I opened it up and I was looking at it and it was like, here are the rules that you shouldn't do. This is what you shouldn't pay. Like when I grew up, we never played by the whole thing where you could auction off properties and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, we never did that. And like when you play this game, you should do the auctioning. That will reduce your game time by X. I'm like, no, hey,
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I had Monopoly on NES, and that was one of the greatest things. I mean, it's either NES or Super Nintendo. I can't remember which one, but that's what. So it automatically, if you passed on it, it automatically went to auction. And you're like, oh, this is awesome. And then there was different ways you could cheat on that one too. But you know, I was just like, do you guys know the rule I'm talking about though? Like how to play it to where you win, but you're a dick. And it's basically you buy all like once you get a Monopoly, once you get the three or properties, you just fill them up with hotels, I mean, right. with houses, but you never ever buy a motel ever. And that way. Never buy a hotel because what you do is you're taking up all the houses and so no one else can ever buy them. And that's the thing is that it's because you run out of pieces. And so you're just a dick. Like he's like, dude, why don't you put hotels? Like, cause I don't want to surrender my houses back. And that's how you win. And it's like, it's the biggest dick move, but you will win every time.
That's awesome.
So we,
I'm totally gonna do that.
We had one of these rainy days, and we were playing every game that we have in our house, right? And so we did. We got to Monopoly, Chris. And the way that we started it, there's a quick start version where you deal out like two properties, I think, each just randomly. And it's a faster start. And with kids, I think it's better for them to start off with something. And so my son just happened to get Park Place right off the bat. And he ended up buying Boardwalk and he did what Nick is talking about. He just bought up all of the houses. He bankrupted my wife. Like I had to leave for work because again, crazy work schedule. I got to make this kind of shit. So I give all my properties to my daughter, like good luck. and just like in the game of Monopoly or Life, I had acquired three properties, Marvin Gardens, like the yellow properties, put houses on them, gave them
Ventnor Avenue.
Gave them to my daughter, but then she got bankrupted by my son and he absolutely took it to the house. So, but fun games though to do while you're,
I'll tell you though, you just reminded me of one of my favorite memories of my dad. So when we were kids, we would play Monopoly on the kitchen, the living room table, or not living room, sorry, the dining room table rather. And my dad was always like a cheesy dad joke guy. Like he's classic dad. So I think I'm following in his footsteps quite a bit with that too, which is great. But whenever we played Monopoly, every single time somebody landed on Marvin Gardens, he would sing the song by the Commodores. Like, Marvin, you are a friend of mine. every without fail, like every single time, multiple times in a match, whatever. But it's just one of my most fun memories. I always remember my dad.
Wow, that's
but yeah.
Now, did you guys play where like you land on the free parking and you get like whatever's in the middle, like money in the middle? Did you ever play like that?
Yeah, it's nice.
So funny you mentioned that, because in this stop, read this before you fucking play the game rule that Hasbro sends out, it says that it's a bullshit rule that doesn't actually exist in the real world.
Yeah, but it's a nice little bonus though, because like all the taxes, all the stuff like that go in the center.
Oh, especially the tax of that property or that whatever that tax that you get right off the bat. Oh, fuck, I hate that.
All that stuff goes right in the center, and then so you land on free parking. It's like, hey.
Community and community chess and chance, you know, all of that stuff that you have to pay for goes in the middle. And I don't know. I mean, screw Hasbro. What do they know?
Seriously. Yeah.
Make your own rules.
Yeah.
As long as you win. So
Hasbro makes that.
Or Parker Hasbro Brothers. Gaming.
Parker Brothers, yeah.
I thought it was Parker Brothers.
Oh, is it Parker Brothers?
It's Parker Brothers.
Yeah, like, I bought it from Hasbro.
Oh, maybe it was Hasbro. Maybe it is Hasbro. You know the company.
I definitely remember Parker Brothers. So Monopoly is a Hasbro game, it looks like.
Oh.
Okay. I win.
I bought it from fucking Hasbro, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly where I bought it here. They also have a Cheaters edition.
Nice.
For those that like to commit adultery. Or are you talking about cheaters like glasses cheaters? Sorry. Yeah, nobody knows about Cheaters glasses?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm officially old because I prefer to... When you have to get bifocals or whatever, you know, like
people, spectacles.
Yeah, people call the other glasses cheaters because you. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I got you. Yeah,
trust me. Once you get to 40 and you go to the eye doctor, they're always like, "Well, since you're 40 now, like they basically just look at your chart and they're like,
you're still here."
No, they're like, okay. They're checking for certain things with your eyes.
I've got an update for you.
Okay.
In 1991, Hasbro acquired Parker Brothers and thus Monopoly.
Okay.
Man, I remember I had on my Tandy 1000 EX desktop computer that our family bought from Radio Shack. We had a MS-DOS based. What is it? Five and a quarter inch disc or whatever game of Monopoly. And it was the best because you could just play on the computer and you wouldn't have to deal with the banking and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was cutthroat rules. And it was awesome. And that's how I learned how to play Monopoly. If I recall, I played so many games on that old MS-DOS based game, Monopoly. I'm going to see if I can find that. Get a emulator for it.
By the way, you people in the chat, Sherry, Randy, you know what I'm talking about. You're mentioning Cheaters here to me, so thank you. Thanks for backing me up. So,
there it is. Yes.
He's so stoked right now.
Oh my god!
I can play this 30-year-old game.
This is going to be an internet rabbit hole that he goes down like.
Man.
This podcast.
It's an hour and 11 minute YouTube video of people playing it.
Sign me up.
By the way, for everybody that is in the chat, Nick, we kind of discussed this. I don't think Jack really got the gist of what I was trying to suggest here.
He doesn't read the private chat. He does, but he doesn't.
He only reads the dirty comments I make. He never reads the actual like logistical things that I was trying to convey. But I was suggesting or floating the idea of having a bonus episode, a bonus live episode that I would share the link to everybody. It would be a different link. It could not be the same link. That way, Chris can have a good night's sleep.
He's not sleeping. He's going to play the video game now for like 2 hours.
I need to go to bed, but I did find an emulator that I can play it.
That was my timer, not a speed.
Honey, what are you doing? You're supposed to be in bed. You got to get up early in the morning. I'm playing this 1991 Monopoly game. I played as a kid. Shut up.
Oh, my God, dude. This is so good.
You got that European call in the morning, honey.
I know.
You got the European call. So anyway, Nick, are you down with this bonus episode happening, hell or high water, or no?
I mean, yeah, I guess we could. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but sure.
I don't know either, but, you know, we just talked for the last couple minutes about board games, so.
All right, guys. that's it for me. So are you guys going to do an extra episode, or are you going to cut this one?
What I would do is I would just create a new one as opposed to going on with this, or, you know, because that way it would give Nick and I a break, and then I would post the link for the new show, and it would be a bonus episode on our bonus feed. Does that sound good to everybody?
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, are you down with this? Because I don't want to wrestle you into something that you don't.
Well, you're the fan favorite, so, you know, I figured you could be a one-man show.
Well, we're going to be back next week at our normal-ish time, right?
Yes, that's what you were saying. Your schedule's a little bit lighter next week.
Was this not a normal time?
Well, we usually do 10 o'clock on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, but then we got this whole Survivor.
Right, so we started. To me, 7 o'clock is normal. Well, 9 o'clock is normal, but yeah.
Yeah, my mornings this week have been just batshit, and it's going to be like that for another few days. But next week I should be good.
Okay. For everyone that is in the chat, check out the Jay and Jack Facebook page, and I will post a new YouTube link. Miami Mike, I know you're not on Facebook. I don't even know how you get these links. Like, you know, does Jack tweet them to you or something like that? Does he slip you his name?
Share the link on the Patreon. Oh, I will, Sherry. I got to find it again. I just closed it out because I need to go to bed, but you're going to make me do this again. MS-DOS.
On that note,
MS-DOS.
As Chris is looking that stuff up, if you do enjoy what we do on this show, and apparently you do because you've all joined us live, and I do sincerely appreciate that. For everyone that has, you can become a patron by going to jandjack.com/patron. No, fuck, I already fucked this shit up. Just go to jandjack.com, click on the patron link to become a patron. You can help us out by buying your Monopoly board game on Amazon by going to jandjack.com/Amazon. You can send us an email at it's rcadcast@gmail.com. I almost fucked that up. You can rate and review us on iTunes, what have you. There are certain patrons that make this show possible. At this point, I would like to thank those patrons for making this show happen. I'm so lazy about changing up these names. I have it on a post-it note. So I apologize for not coming up with some new fun ones for this week. But I will say that Terrific Tack is still with us. Excellent Eckhart, Marvelous Maggie, the Ignanimous Ed, the Letter Carrier, Jovial Joanne, and the Greatest Greg of all time. Thank you for doing what you do. Thanks for making this show possible. We appreciate everything. And thank you again for all of the listeners in the chat for joining us. So we'll have a bonus episode this week, which we have been kind of not doing because we've had so many live shows. But why not? Because I'm all jazzed up. I've had all my Java juice.
See? That's what I'm saying. You know, you had the White Russians first, and now you're all hopped up on death sticks.
I know. Now I need to bring it down again with some more alcohol. So, Chris, always a pleasure seeing you and hanging out with you.
It is. It's so good to see you guys.
So, always look forward to it. Uh-oh. We're losing Nick. Clear! All right, great show, kids. This was 1 in 6,000.
Yeah, about that.
About that. It was pretty good.
Not so bad.
Was, you know, considering we had Jack for a short bit and a cameo by Jay. So.
And call.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right, guys. I'm going to try and find I realized the one I was looking at was from 1995. I'm going to go back even further in time to find the one I used to play on my computer. So I will post that in the Patreon group as soon as I can find it.
See you on the flip side in another life and in another YouTube feed. We'll start probably in about, I don't know, like 10, 15 minutes. So give us about that. All right. Take care.